So our theme today is angels. Last week I watched the first episode of Sleepy Hollow. Don't take that as a recommendation for you to watch it, but I found it quite interesting. It's based on the premise that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are about to appear and bring destruction upon where else but the United States of America, beginning at Sleepy Hollow. And so the headless horseman is one of these riders of the apocalypse. And if he can find his head and be reunited with it, then the other riders of the apocalypse will appear and bring death and destruction on the land. Now, the reason that I found this interesting is because it weaves together all these sort of spiritual ideas. And these are themes that people are drawn to. Interest in the supernatural. So when our children were younger, there was a much more wholesome program on supernatural themes, Touched by an Angel. So some of you might have seen that at some stage, where lovely Monica with her Irish lilt would go and help people and allow them to find comfort along the way. And so from light entertainment through drama, through horror, there's all sorts of TV programs, movies that focus on these supernatural themes. So you get stuff about vampires and the living dead and demons and angels and ghosts and wizards and all sorts of things. And sometimes over time you see all this going through a bit of a cycle. Things are TV programs 1 year, and then it's a long while, and then the theme reemerges, and you find that people are interested and drawn to TV programs about spiritual themes. Some of these things we find comfort in, and others scare us. And today we're beginning this new series on angels and demons, heaven and hell. These themes form a backdrop to our Christian faith. So we're not always seeing these things coming to the fore, but in a sense, they help us to understand what's going on, giving us a picture of what the spiritual world is like. So we don't focus on them too much, but it's important for us to understand a little bit about them. This helps us to see the spiritual landscape of the Bible. And without this understanding, some of the things in the Bible just won't make a lot of sense to us. Looking at these themes, it's both interesting and it's important. We're all spiritual beings. Interest in supernatural programs is only one aspect of that. You see, even if you would not consider yourself to be a Christian, even being here today suggests there's something about the spirit, the spirituality of your life and a longing for something more. I remember as a child, our family had some friends with strange ideas. I don't know if your family had such friends, but we had people who would have their tea leaves read. Now, you can't do that with tea bags now, but they would have it done with the tea leaves or their palm read, the reading of the cards or other forms of spiritual seeking to know the future. Maybe some of you have had experience in those sorts of things, playing with Ouija boards or crystal balls or the cards or other spiritual practices. Or perhaps you know of some friends who have done that sort of thing. And while you wouldn't necessarily call them Christians, you can see that there's something very spiritual about them, and they're looking for some spiritual answers. But as we would say, not looking in the right place. As Christians, we know we are surrounded by a largely unseen spiritual world. And we are called to engage in a spiritual battle, using spiritual armor and spiritual weapons to fight a spiritual enemy. The spiritual realm is very real. And so over the next month or so, just in this short series, we're going to look at angels, demons, heaven, and hell. I'm just about to hear your minds clicking over now. I think I'll be absent that day when we're talking about hell. But each of these themes is important to us to get a clear picture of what the Bible really teaches us. And today we're thinking about angels. When we focus on angels, we just need to be a little bit careful. Because while the Bible tells us about angels, it doesn't tell us a lot about angels. And so our knowledge is limited. We can't look into the spiritual realm to see it, to analyze it. And so our knowledge about angels is really quite limited. And we need to be open about that. The other thing is sometimes people focus on them too much. We're told that some people have gone to the extent of worshipping angels. And we are warned not to do that. Angels are not to be worshipped. And we also need to take care not to take on board Hollywood's interpretation of angels, or not to take what Hollywood might say too seriously. Ideas can get mixed up with urban legends and superstitions about angels, and end up we get these sort of strange, weird ideas about them. I perhaps need to say to you, angels don't hang around in libraries or gather on the beach looking wistfully at the sunset. Neither are they rude or slovenly. They can't choose to become human, and humans can never become angels. When we want to know about angels, the place to look is not what Hollywood says, but what the scriptures tell us. So there are over 300 references to angels in the Bible, and over 188 of these are in the New Testament. And so it's important for us to think about these things from time to time. You can't read the Bible without coming across some mention of angels at some time or other. And so we need to think about what has been revealed and to try to understand it. When we look at the Bible, we find angels are supernatural messengers from God. The primary role of angels seems to be in the scriptures to bring a message from God. And so God sends angels with important messages. And the angel appearing underlines just how important that is. That this message is heard by the person to whom the angel appears, and that that person takes it on board and acts upon it. This becomes very, very important. And so in Luke's gospel, we read of Zechariah. Now, an angel comes and says to him, Zechariah, you and your wife are going to have a son. Now, that son we know is John the Baptist. We know because we read and see that he would be a special child with a special ministry. And the angel announced, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. And many people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this was why this message was so, so important. This angel was coming, preparing for the Messiah. John was going to come, and John needed to do some things in his life, and his parents needed to see that right from his birth, these things were happening in his life. He was taught about them, prepared for it, so that he could say something about the Messiah at a later time. And so Zechariah engaged in conversation with this angel. And in the course of this, the angel revealed some things about himself, saying, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. See, angels have names. And this infers identity. Angels are not nebulous spirits drifting pointlessly. They are beings with personality and with identity. And Gabriel also speaks of standing before the presence of God. And standing before the presence of God infers status. There appear to be ranks of angels, archangels, other heavenly beings, cherubim, seraphim. And being in the presence of God also infers holiness. These angels are pure, being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God also infers intimate knowledge of God. And so they see things we don't see. They understand things from a spiritual point of view that we have yet to perceive. They stand at the very throne of God. They hear his commands. They see what he is doing. They know what he is working out as he works out his purposes. Being sent by God points to the servant nature of angels. They are his messengers. Angels don't send God. God sends angels. And a part of this message, an angel helps Zechariah and Elizabeth to prepare for what God wanted them to do, preparing for the Messiah. And then Gabriel later appeared to Mary and explained part of God's plan to her. Still later, an unnamed angel spoke to Joseph. And another appeared before the shepherds. And then a whole lot of angels appeared singing the praises of God. And following the visit of the Magi, an angel appeared to Joseph, warning him, Herod is wanting to kill this child. And so Joseph was able to flee into Egypt. And then at the end of the gospel story, when Jesus rose from the dead and the tomb was empty, there were angels there to meet the women who came to the tomb to say, he is not here, he is risen. Angels don't bring their own message. They bring the message that God gives them to bring. They don't appear on a whim or at their own choosing. They are sent by God at his timing with his message. And angels are also supernatural ministers from God. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and you'll know that you read of him, he went, he prayed, he fasted, and then he was tempted by Satan. And at the end of that time, weary and worn down, an angel appeared to him and strengthened him, enabled him to find the strength to go on. And we also know it at Gethsemane, when again the cross was just before him, and his heart was so heavy, the weight of sin already starting to weigh him down, and he was in prayer. And praying so deeply. And there an angel came to him and touched him and strengthened him for his prayerfulness and for what was still yet to come. And then in Elijah, we read of an angel helping him. And so Elijah had done this wonderful thing with the prophets of Baal, challenging them and proving that their God was empty while the God of heaven was able, even when the offering was soaked with water to bring fire from heaven to set it alight. And this was Elijah at the peak when God was acting. But very soon after that, he went downhill, literally, and became depressed. And he said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down under a tree and fell asleep, perhaps hoping never to wake again. But then we read, at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And in these stories of Jesus and Elijah, here are people at the end of themselves, the end of their strength. And God sent an angel to minister to them. They were exhausted and they needed strength from somewhere else. Hebrews summarizes this saying, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And one of the key tasks of angels is to come and to minister. And maybe you have experienced this. I'm not saying that you have seen an angel necessarily, but perhaps at a low ebb, when all felt to you to be lost and you were at the end of yourself, something happened and you felt a sense of hope, a sense of joy, a sense of strength to help you through that time. Perhaps that was an angel coming near to you and ministering to you. This not only relates to individuals or families, but also to the church. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus speaks to the seven churches of Asia Minor, and he speaks to the angels of those churches. And it appears from this, each church had an angel watching over it. And from this, we could suggest that there is an angel here watching over this church, helping us in our tasks of ministry. We also find in the scriptures that angels are supernatural warriors. The Bible reveals that they're engaged in spiritual warfare. And so we read the lovely story this morning, the king who was upset that his enemy seemed to know all his battle plans. Because Elisha was hearing from God and telling the king. And so the enemy king said, let's go and get this guy. And he sent his army to surround the city. And when the servant of Elisha woke up and he looked out and he saw this vast army surrounding the city. Oh no, what are we going to do now? The army have come for us. There is no escape. But Elisha said, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Perhaps that's the word you need to hear today in your situation. Those who are with us, those who are with you, are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And he looked and saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, Elisha was already aware of this great army of the Lord that was there to help and protect him. And when the servant's eyes were opened, he also saw this. Or then again, we might think of the story in Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel had heard some bad news. And so he set his heart to prayer, fasting, seeking the Lord. And he continued in this way for some time. And then an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him, ever since you started praying, God has heard and he has sent me. But I've been held back by this power, the prince of Persia. And it was only when another angel, Michael, came to help that I was free to be able to come and tell you this now. And so the angel then began to speak to him. And with this, we see that there's a dimension of struggle, not only in our own world, but in the spiritual world. And there are forces at work that we don't see. But angels are acting on our behalf. In Revelation, we also read of angels as the army of heaven. And when we read of Jesus at his arrest, and his disciples were about to put up a fight, he said to them, no, don't do this. This is God's will. And don't you know that if I did want to be rescued, all I would have to do is say one word, and thousands of angels would come to my rescue. Jesus was aware of the angels that were there that could have helped him had he called. Another thing we find out about angels is that they are supernatural worshippers of God. In various places in the Bible, we see pictures of the throne of God explained to us. And in those, we find that there are angels present. Typically, at the throne of God, their song is, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they continue to worship in the presence of God. And so these angels with different ranks, the archangels, princes, seraphim, cherubim, praising God. All of these beings reflecting the glory which God has given them, marked by purity and light. Some with wings to cover their eyes, some with wheels within wheels, all of them worshiping God. And we read of thousands upon thousands of this joyful assembly, praising God and honoring God. And part of that worship is reflected every time a person on earth becomes a Christian. We are told the angels in heaven rejoice when someone comes to faith. All through the day, all around the world, there are people who are coming to faith. Moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, month by month. And the angels simply rejoice. And heaven must be a place of great celebration as God brings people into his kingdom. And the angels again celebrate this wonderful event. Now, although they are supernaturally powerful, angels have limitations. We understand that there are thousands and thousands of angels, but the number is finite. There are only so many of them. Angels are beings created by God and made for his service. We don't know when they were created, how they were created, or what their special relationship or what their story with God is. Those things are hidden from us at this present time. I look forward when we are in heaven to having a chat with one of these angels and finding out what was going on when we couldn't see it, when we didn't know it. Part of their limitation is found in 1 Peter. Peter speaks about the gospel, how wonderful these things are that Jesus has done. And we're told that as the gospel changed people, even angels long to look into these things Angels want to see, they want to learn, they want to know what is happening as God interacts with his human creation. When they see in my life, in your life, another measure of grace, they learn something more about what God is like. When they see how God leads us through a particular situation, they learn something more about how wonderful, how powerful, how full, how rich salvation in Christ is. And the angels long to look into this, learning these new things. You see, they don't understand everything. They don't have unlimited knowledge. They can grow in their knowledge of God's grace. They're not all powerful, but God is. They're limited in numbers, limited in understanding, limited in power. There are limits to the powers of angels, but there is no limit at all to the power of God. Well, this is a brief overview of angels. Obviously, with over 300 times being mentioned in the Bible, there is so much there that we could look at and read about with regard to angels. So what difference does this make to us? When we begin to think about angels, we see something more of the picture of God's kingdom. It's not limited to what we see as humans. We see the physical, the things we can touch, hear, and smell. They're so real to us that sometimes we forget the spiritual dimension. Beyond our sight is a spirit world of powers and principalities. The kingdom of God, including angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, princes, all these serve God and do his bidding. He has set them tasks to help us spiritually. They are messengers, ministers, warriors, worshippers. I constantly pray for God to send his angels to help us. The scripture tells us, "For he will command his servants concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And so I pray for the strength of angels to surround my family, to surround my home, to surround this church, and to protect us from the powers of evil. I pray for ministering angels to come and touch our lives and give us the extra strength that we need, to give us nourishment and support. Now, angels are not ours to command. They are God's to command. But God has thousands and thousands of angels waiting on the word from him. So I feel no reluctance in saying to God, send to me, send to us these angels to minister to us, to strengthen us, to help us in the spiritual battle that we face. Now, much of what I've said this morning was inspired in my thinking by Billy Graham's book called Angels, God's Secret Agents. And I don't think we should become too preoccupied with angels, but we should learn about them and understand more about them. And perhaps you might like to purchase this book. We've got a copy in the library. I think it's in the bulletin there. And to read something more about this. Because, you see, with angels, we can take heart and be encouraged that God has his angels watching over us. You see, we're not alone when we're engaged in the spiritual battle. It's not just our brothers and sisters in the faith who are alongside us. Angels join the fight. And when we are weary, we need not be crushed, because angels can come and minister to us and give us strength. And when we are at a low ebb and unsure of where to go, these angels can come and help to direct us in the ways that God would have us go. And so when we are worshiping, we're not alone. In our songs, angels also worship and sing praise of God. And so ask God for the protection of these angels around you and for whatever help they may be able to give you. Let's draw encouragement from the reality of God's Holy Spirit who is within us and his angels who are around us. And let us be a church that has a healthy understanding and appreciation of the ministry of angels. Let us step out into our spiritual life today, knowing that we have friends in high places who move alongside us and who are engaged with us to ensure and enable us to ensure that God's work can be, God's will can be worked out in our lives and in our church. And this is what God does for us, and we are so glad. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want to thank you for the angels that are present with us this day. For those who sing praise when we sing. who pray when we pray, and when we ask for strength and help, that they are there to minister to us. Oh Lord, by your Holy Spirit, work within us. Work a good work and a great work. And send us out into this spiritual battle. Let us be engaged, Lord. Let us be engaged in this work, committed to this work, always with this knowledge that we're not alone, for your angels are with us. Oh Lord, because of this we give you praise and glory and honor. Amen.